Okay, the last Mishnah of the Masechta, it's Perek Yud, Mishnah Ches. We're talking about loans here, and the ability to collect from encumbered properties that the borrower owned at the time the loan was made. So the way it works is that when a person borrows money, he incurs a debt, that debt is immediately collateralized by all his real assets, everything he has. He doesn't have to write a separate mortgage or something. It's automatically attached. Now, la halacha, there's a difference what kind of loan it was. If it was a loan, a written contract with witnesses, so we assume the word got out that this guy borrowed money, and therefore, you know, other people who purchased his house will be aware that this guy had borrowed money and that, you know, come back to haunt them. So when they'll do a proper title search, they'll be able to uncover the fact that this is an unencumbered property. If, however, it's a milva al peh, like a private, you know, verbal loan without any contract done, so then the word will not get out, and therefore, even if the would-be purchaser of this guy's, the borrower's house, does the equivalent of a title search of the second century, he won't come up with anything because he won't know that there is this loan made because it's a private loan, and therefore he'll get messed up. Therefore, we will not enable the lender to collect from that property, because we'll say it was just a verbal loan, a milva al peh, and not encumbered. It's actually machlokas from Ula and Rabba, what on a derais level is going on. Ula says on a derais level, when you borrow money or you incur a debt, everything you own is encumbered if it's private or public. It's just that the rabbi wants to protect people so that they will, people can get really messed up. You buy a house that gets ripped out of your hands. Therefore, they said, listen, if it's a private loan, milva al peh, without a verbal loan, without a written contract, people won't know. We have to protect the public. We'll make it tikkana that really, even though you owe the money, we're not going to mess up this third party. According to Rabba, he says, no, really, the property's not encumbered. If you don't make an encumbrance, the property doesn't get encumbered. It's just that we want to, whether it's a written or a contract. It's just that we want people to be lenders. We want people to be comfortable lending. If there's no built-in surety to collect, then people will be hesitant to lend, and then a Jewish economy relies on lending. So therefore, people won't lend. Certainly won't lend. It's uncollateralized, not even collecting interest, and therefore poor people will suffer. So therefore, the rabbi said, listen, you'll be able to collect from any of his properties as long as you do write a contract. Okay, the halachas, the consensus is like Ula, that really Midoraisa, everything is collateralized, it's just that the rabbis are protecting purchasers, not protecting lenders. Okay, either way, that's the case of that's what's going on here. So the Mishnah says, Halmalvez Chavero Bishtar. A lends to be money, and it's done with a contract, so now the word's out, the witness is sign on it, and so on. Govum Minachasim Mishubadim, he's allowed to collect from any property which is collateralized, meaning any property that the borrower owned at the time the loan was made, the lender can collect from, even if in the interim the borrower has sold that property to somebody else. So I borrow money from you today, and then my times get worse, not better, so I sell my house, and you want to collect the money later on, you can go back to the guy who bought my house and confiscate the house because you had the first lien. If the loan was made verbally and they're just witnesses who witnessed it being made, but there's no contract, then govum minachasim b'nei chorin, then you, the lender, only can collect from my current properties that are available, not the encumbered properties that I have sold. So mishu'ubadim means sold properties that carry an encumbrance, and b'nei chorin means free property that's still mine, free and clear. Now hotel of ksav yado v'hu chayavlo, chu chayavlo. What if I have a middle case where it's that there's a written contract, but it's not with two witnesses, it was done with my signature. I borrowed money from you, and I signed it. So it's not a public loan, it's a quasi-public loan in such a case. Govum minachasim b'nei chorin, too bad, since there's no witnesses properly here, there's no, the word could get out sufficiently, and we have to protect people who buy houses, and the economy, and therefore, too bad. You, the lender, will not be able to collect from the houses that were sold, only from b'nei chorin, unencumbered properties. Fine. Now, putting together essentially the previous mission, this mission, so the single issue, what about the Arev, the guarantor? Hayotz la'achar chitum shtaros. The guarantor agreed to, guarantee the loan the borrower took, but his signature is on the contract, but it's after the witness has already signed. So he's like an afterthought, if you will, and even potentially a guy who signed as a guarantor on another day. The point is, the loan was being made before the guarantor was signed. That's the question. So the answer is, Govim Menachasim Menachorin, the lender can only collect from the Arev, from the guarantor's current properties, not his past properties, because it's not fair to people who the guarantor in the interim had sold his house to, so they should lose their property. It wasn't his signature wasn't part of the main contract when everyone was witnessing, and who knows if it was a public event, and that wouldn't be fair. Maisa ba lifnei Rabbi Yishmael, this actually, the situation came for Rabbi Yishmael. Va'amar, he said, Govim nechasim b'nei chorin. He said, you want to collect from the Arev? Since the Arev signed too late, after the loan was made, so therefore you can't force people who purchase his house in the meantime to relinquish their properties. That's not fair. Only unencumbered properties that the Arev now owns, those are the ones that the Arev has to hand over since he guaranteed this loan. Amlo ben Nanas, so ben Nanas said, what are you talking about? Ain't a go velo menachasim v'shubadim velo menachasim b'nei chorin. He says, no way. And Nanas says, no way. The Arev came late to the scene. Nothing of his is encumbered at all. Amlo, so Rabbi Yishmael said to Benanus, Lama, why not? He said he was going to pay, so now he has to pay. Amalo, so Benanus says, I'll give you like a mashal. He says, Hayachonik es ha'echad b'shuk. You know, you're walking down the street and you see, you know, some guy choking this other guy. And he's saying, pay my money or I'm going to kill you. V'matzo chavero, so the friend saw this happening. V'amar, and he says to the, you know, the mafioso guy, Hanachlo. The third part, you know, the friend, the would-be Arav now, says, let him go. Let my buddy go, and I'll pay you the money. Just don't kill him. Even though he said, let him go, and the mafioso let him go, Patur, the would-be guarantor, the do-gooder who saw his buddy being choked, is exempt from paying the mafioso. Shlo al emunaso hilvahu. Because the loan was made dependent, like relying upon the guarantor. The loan was made a long time ago. So, once the loan is made, in fact, the guy agreed to be guarantor later on, doesn't really put him on the hook. Can't really collect from him. That's Ryosi Shita, Ben Nanas Shita. Ella says, Ben Nanas, Ezu Arev Shu Chayev. When is an Arev Chayev to pay? That's when he says, Halvehu Va'ani Nosen Lach. When he says ahead of time, before the loan is made, you can lend him because I'll be good for the money if he can't pay. So then you see that, since it's made, So then he, the Arev, is Chayev, Sheken al Munaso Hilvahu. Because only because of the Arev was the loan made. So the Arev is really, tied into the loan. But if the loan was made first, the Arev coming later wouldn't encumber his property. And that is the machlokus between Rabbi Yishmael and Ben Nanas. So Am Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael says, Harotze la Shiyachkim, anyone who wants to become smart, become wise. Yasok b'dinei mamonos. The place of Torah that he should invest himself in is dinei mamonos, of monetary laws. Why? She'ein lach miktsoa b'torah gadol mehen. There's no area of Torah which is more expansive than this area, because there's so much human ingenuity that goes into financial transactions, and then so many principles that need to come applied. It's infinite amount of permutations and ways of looking at it to apply these laws. So that's like much more rich in terms of how to think and expand and apply Torah to real life. Shen kemayin hanoveya, the world of commerce and the halachic applications to it. You know, it's like a mayan is a spring, water keeps it coming out and out and out, never ends. As opposed to other areas of Torah, like ritual, which is much more finite. How many different ways can you do a bris milah? How many different ways can you do a marriage? We all heard it all before. There's only so many ways. But every day there's a new patent in business, with more complex structures. Therefore, it's like a minor novea, an ever booming, blossoming river, that's emerging from this spring. And so therefore, if you want to be wise, says Rabbi Yishmael, learn Dine Mamonos. His own rejoinder, Rabbi Shmuel says, is that if you want to really understand Dine Mamonos, who's your guy? Yishamish as Shimon ben Nanas. You should invest your time studying with Shimon ben Nanas, because he knows Mamonos better than anybody. He's a genius. He's the best. But notwithstanding Rabbi Shmuel's endorsement, the lacha is not like ben Nanas. The lacha is like Rabbi Shmuel, meaning that the Arev is on the hook. If he agrees on the hook and signs the contract after the signature of the witnesses, the RM is still on the hook to help pay if the borrower can't pay, but indeed his property is unencumbered, such that anything he sold we won't mess up those purchasers, but whatever B'nai Chor, whatever assets he now has, he certainly has to pay as an Arav. Doesn't matter that he came late to the scene, he agreed, so he agreed. And with that, Salak Maseches Bava Basra, we finish Maseches Bava Basra.